Rise and Shine File, 7 o'clock. Thanks for starting the day with us, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller. Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Nuggets get the win last night. Impressive win for the Nuggets over... I mean, normally, like, you beat the Knicks in the past. It's like, nah.
Yeah, you beat the Knicks.
They're good now. They're playing well. And Denver getting it done last night with, you know, no P.J. Dozier, obviously no Jamal Murray.
Nikola Jokic. You play guard for the Nuggets. Watch out.
Exactly.
Reaper's coming for you, apparently.
And I believe it's Dave Platty, who's the sports information guy for the Colorado Buffaloes, had made a comment about that. I'm a Facebook friend of them, and he made a comment about, you know, Nuggets guards number one. They seem to be in everybody's crosshairs.
Yeah.
The Grim Reaper seems to be out to get them. And then, of course, the call the other night against the Lakers where Anthony Davis gets charged, you know, is able to get a charging call on Facu Campazzo after the Porter three. And so, yeah. But the Nuggets get the win last night. Rockies winning. Avs falling last night. Avs not. Saw the Alex Newhook debut. The first round pick from 2019, making his NHL debut.
It was all right. It didn't cost him anything.
No, but no, it wasn't like they lost a game because he played last night. He was center on the second line last night. But the Avs fall to the Sharks 3-2. And queued up a question of the day today. We got a couple. You came up with that one about the Avalanche and their third period play.
It worries me a little bit.
Yeah, has not been good.
Not the last 2 weeks or so.
If you're an Avs fan, are you concerned about that as we get close to the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs?
This is their first regulation loss this year when leading after two periods?
Yeah. So we've got some thoughts on that today. Also, yes, the Aaron Rodgers saga, it's not going to go away for a while.
Oh, it continues.
It's not going to go away.
Interesting.
No.
Rodgers! This can't double check!
According to Mike Garofolo, that Rodgers reportedly told free agents that he probably wasn't going to be playing in Green Bay in 2021. So he was making it clear, going back to last season, that hey,
he's
thinking about coming here. I'm not going to be here. That if you're leaving free agent wise, and you think you're going to stay because I'm going to be here,
that's not going to be.
I'm not going to be here.
It's not what's happening.
Good that he's doing this, or is it one of the reasons people don't like Aaron Rodgers? Is he trying to be fair to guys saying if you're coming here to play or going to stay because of me, that that's not a reason to be here? Because I'm not going to be here. I plan on getting out of town. Or
I think it's all right to give the guys a heads up. Yeah, if you're Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, or some people, you know, if you're a Packers fan, does that make you mad that you're telling guys, hey, I'm not going to be here, guys? It could maybe help your football team stay competitive. I'm not sure.
Both of those emotions can exist.
Just
because you're mad as a Packers fan, which is justified, doesn't mean it's unfair of him to do that, right?
Right. I'm trying to sort out how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Because there's the part of me that says, okay, he's being fair to guys, fellow professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and look, we have to acknowledge who he is. And what he means to that team. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Whether you like him or not, that's who he is. Mm-hmm. Packers win or lose based on Aaron Rodgers and what happens with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And so is he just being a good professional by saying, hey, look, if you're planning on coming here and winning football games with me, well, you're not going to be winning football games with me because I'm not going to be here.
I think so, because there are teams that free agents want to go to because they love the team.
PFM.
You know.
But going back to the day, I mean, PFM was a huge reason why.
Well, right. But
the Tlaib's Yeah. Like guys go there. You're right. There are guys that go.
There are some reasons. Guys that go for, they love the team, they love the city, state has no income tax, whatever. Then there are guys that will go where Tom Brady's at. How many free agents, some of them were great, some of them were not. Did the Patriots get, you're like, interesting. Packers, PFM, Russell Wilson now. Some of these guys will go, and I think it's only fair to get for them. If they reach out to Rodgers, or if they're going to come sign, Rodgers reaches out to them and be like, hey, I know you're coming here because I'm playing here and I appreciate that, but also, I ain't going to be here very long. So if you still want to come, great. If that's shaping your decision, you may play a lot of your contract without me here. And I think that's fair.
And look, you had David Bakhtiari, the former Buff.
Mm-hmm.
Tackle, really good tackle for the Packers.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones, both those guys re-signed with Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he supposedly told that to them, said that to them.
Right.
But it didn't stop them from staying in Green Bay. So I guess I'm just curious what the Pyle's take is on this. For a guy that could very well end up being a Denver Bronco quarterback, mm-hmm. and still very much in the offing, of him doing this.
The way the last 7 days have gone, there's going to be something tomorrow that makes him look better, right? Because it's Aaron Rodgers, looks like a petty jerk. Oh, Aaron Rodgers, you know, I kind of get it. Look at the way they've done this. Aaron Rodgers, looks like a petty jerk. The next day, okay, you know, yeah. I kind of understand. We're back to Aaron Rodgers kind of looks bad here. That's what this day's story is, and tomorrow there's going to be something sure. different where it's like, oh, well, okay, I guess that kind of makes a little sense.
Like, it's a complicated narrative. It's not a simple story.
It is not
story.
Cut and dry
it's
at
not,
all.
It's not a simple relationship no. where Rodgers is clearly the bad guy and the Packers are clearly the good guys, or vice versa.
Right.
There's blame, you know, with Brian Gutekunst, mm-hmm. you know, there's blame to go around here and how why this relationship is where it is now.
Is Aaron Rodgers is kind of like Tony Soprano. He's the protagonist in the show, but he's not necessarily the good guy.
Is he an anti-hero?
I don't know if people like him that much.
I know. You and I would change our opinions about him to a degree, though, I think, if he was wearing the uniform of our favorite football team.
He would be just a straight up hero at that point.
He becomes
that need to be an anti-hero.
Fantastic guy. Yeah, he stops being the Punisher,
right.
or Black Adam. You go comic book nerdy here. To, you know, being a full on Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, full on Superman. He's
he comes
good,
to the Browns.
Super good guy.
Got a better character than Kareem Hunt.
It's true. He's never done anything like Kareem Hunt did.
So, never, or he's never been caught.
At least never, not that we're aware of anyway. Right.
But he seems like that's not his nature.
And for Packer fans, I mean, there are some Packer fans. Remember, it's publicly owned team.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine you own stock in the Packers. You're probably not very happy with Aaron Rodgers when you hear this. Because wait a minute, you're telling guys not to stay,
right.
or maybe telling guys not to come to Green Bay, which could make that team a worse football team, which means your team does not have as much value as it did previously when he
but
was
you
there.
You got Jordan Love. You're ready to go.
Ready to go.
You've already done this once from Favre to Rodgers. Yeah.
And Brett Favre has said, because, you know, that's this. Some of this stuff goes back to when mm-hmm. Rodgers got drafted and when he was there with Favre. And Favre has said that, like, Rodgers is not going to play for the Packers. He said everything he's hearing,
right.
that Aaron Rodgers is very entrenched in, I will not play for you.
Yeah, they're not bros, but they're much closer than they used to be, those two.
Right.
So I buy that some, Brett Favre. And at least he's talked about something that didn't make him sound even more dumb.
Exactly.
You know, he kept it in the fairway.
He stayed in his lane. Yeah. He stayed in something he knows about.
Right.
Being unhappy with the Packers organization. And
because they drafted his replacement.
Oh, so some thoughts on this today. I mean, does this concern you about Aaron Rodgers, or is this just I don't care? comes to Denver, I don't care. I don't. He's not a serial killer,
right?
He's not a
Dexter.
Exactly.
Keep it on pop culture.
Talk about anti-hero.
Yeah.
He's a serial killer that only kills other serial killers. So that makes him okay. I mean, that's
at some point the herd's going to thin out a little bit, right? You'd hope.
You'd think there's, yeah, I don't know.
Makes me wonder what's going on in America when Dexter runs for like 6 seasons.
And it had like one of the worst endings ever. And I guess it's coming back.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it's, I guess Showtime's planning on bringing it back.
I might as well.
Sure. Why not? I don't know how to take this. It doesn't make me go, I don't want him to play for the Broncos.
It doesn't turn me off to Aaron Rodgers, no. But it doesn't go like, yep, more firmly in his camp either. It's
just
strange.
Kind of like, yeah, that's who he is, right?
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, that's who he is.
It sounds about right. That's on, as the kids say, that's on brand for Aaron Rodgers.
You know what you're getting. You do. You just know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
That he's going to be a guy that clearly, if he's upset, he's going to do rather questionable things when it comes to just
questionable character.
Yeah, not like I said, not breaking laws. He's not. No. I just think when he gets mad, he's spiteful.
Questionable loyalty.
Spiteful, I think, is a good word here. He's spiteful.
Yeah.
He's angry. He's and look, I get it. He has a lot of reasons to feel the way he does. I understand why he feels the way he does.
You know how even the terminology changes? When it works and he goes out and he throws for almost 50 touchdowns and they get to the end, that's a chip on his shoulder. Now when they don't like him, or when it's, you know, the off season, it's spite, right? Not saying you, but because that's a good word for it.
Right.
But it changes from, he's got a chip on his shoulder. Now the Packers fans may not like him, so now he's spiteful.
Spiteful. But I mean but it does come off even.
It is spiteful, it is, though.
Because that's just who he is. He's a hard guy to figure out. He really is.
He's kind of a hard guy to like, to be honest.
Yeah, there's the parts of me that I've always liked Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I've always obviously loved his game.
I like him in relation to playing the game.
And there are times I do like him as a person.
Right.
But there are times I just kind of go, and I find him kind of funny in his own way. I there are times I just like, come on, man. Lighten up a little bit.
His first few seasons in the league, even when he was the starter, the Packers would do, like, they would take a picture on the sideline of the captains for the game. We'd go out for the coin toss, right? And Aaron Rodgers would somehow work his way into the photo doing something weird or wonky or wacky or goofy. And it was hilarious. And it's like, this guy just has fun playing football. And then you turn around and you have the, hey, I'm not going to be playing here, so you probably shouldn't sign there if that's the reason. Now, I don't know if he comes out and straight up says, don't sign there because I won't be there. But if he gives them the heads up as, hey, if you're coming for me, I may not be there. I'm perfectly fine with that. But if he says, hey, don't go sign in Green Bay because I'm leaving, that's different. It's semantics. It's absolutely semantics. But that is very different to me.
Yeah, I just think that the way he goes about things, and maybe in this case, not just being flat out, I'm going to be very open about this. I don't want to be here. Here are the reasons why I don't want to be here. Here are the airing of grievances.
Yes.
Best of Us for the Rest of Us on Seinfeld. Air your grievances. Here's why I'm unhappy, which I'm sure he has with the Packers, but publicly.
Maybe.
Well, what I understand is he has indicated to them why he's unhappy. At least that's what I've, that's what I've interpreted reading various articles. That they understand clearly why he's upset. It's not a mystery to them.
Right.
He's made it fairly clear to them why he's upset with Gunkuntz and, you know, the Jerry Krause comparisons, calling him Jerry Krause to his teammates. I just want the Pyle's take on this today. I mean, does it have any negative thoughts if you're thinking, hey, boy, it'd be great to have Aaron Rodgers in Denver. Does it even move you off that even a tiny bit? For me, it doesn't, because he is who he is.
But if Ronald Darby calls him and says, hey, I'm coming to Green Bay, and Rodgers is like, I may get traded to the Broncos. That may make him a little bit more desirable in Broncos country. Who knows? He's steering free agents your way.
Sure. Rather have him doing that, though, as an official member of the Denver Broncos, telling us, hey, why don't you come here and play? Be great.
That's true. The best GM they've had the last 10 years is Peyton Manning.
PFM was fantastic. You guys were as good in free agency as PFM in the day. All right, 7:16. How concerned about the Avalanche and their play in the third period? Also, this story about Rodgers telling Packer free agents like David Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones, hey, you can stay if you want to.
Right.
But I'm not going to be here. If you plan on playing with me,
I'm not going to stick around. I'm
not going to be here. So text or call us, 970-242-1340. Does not change my opinion one bit on whether I want him in Denver or not.
No.
I want him in Denver, and I want him there now. And I'm pretty much at the stage of whatever it's going to take to make that happen. But depends if it's a deal that involves, we talked about yesterday, possible options. Mm-hmm. Falls Courtland Sutton or, you know, two or three of the young, you know, a couple of the, like Judy and Hamler.
Yeah, Hamler.
I mean, if it was like Hamler and Tim Patrick, I'd probably go, okay, yeah. But it's like Courtland Sutton and Jerry Judy that they want and three first-round draft picks. I'm not sure I want to go down that road. I mean, I get it. Receivers are, you know, far easier to find than Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if to give up that much, I'm not sure I'm willing to make that deal. But
Hamler, Vaughn, a one and a two, sure.
Yeah, I'd be totally down with that. I can live with that deal. But, you know, they're going to want, sounds like three first-round picks maybe, possibly.
If Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, will be in the 20s anyway. What value are those?
Exactly. You're no kidding. I mean, you're going to be those picks. If you're expecting to be as good as you think you're going to be,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to be picking. Hopefully, you're picking like 32, right?
Right. But if they're a playoff team, at best, they're picking 18th.
Yeah, 18, 19, 20 range. So text or call us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today. The Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Time for...
What's happening?
All right, behind a strong start from John Gray, the Rockies held off San Francisco for a 6-5 win at Coors Field Wednesday. Gray's now 4-0 at Coors Field this season after going six innings and giving up two runs and four hits. He also struck out eight. Gray also had an RBI single. He knows he's been hitting the ball pretty well lately. John Gray?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he has not been bad.
A couple knocks here or there.
Charlie Blackmon added a two RBI single as well. Colorado wins the series. They move to 12-19 on the season. Manager Bud Black says the series showed the toughness of his team.
I think it shows a lot about this team and the resiliency. Coming back after being down 10-0 in the first game of a doubleheader, down 6-2 in the last inning, and then winning that game and then coming out today and hanging on.
Rocks are off today before playing tomorrow in St. Louis against former teammate Nolan Arenado. We had our third no-hitter of the Major League Baseball season last night. John Means of the Baltimore Orioles. You're going, who? John Means?
Yeah, no who? Kidding.
Almost a perfect game, by the way, last night.
Wild pitch got him.
Seattle Sam Haggerty, which I believe that is, played at Grand Junction High School. Sam was at Grand Junction High School.
Was he?
And his dad, I went to high school at Grand Junction, played quarterback there. And Sam, the family moved over to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I think he went to, I believe, Regis, but they moved to Denver. And Sam is originally from Grand Junction. If it's the same Sam Haggerty I'm thinking of.
Born in Phoenix, went to University of New Mexico, maybe?
I believe that is Sam Haggerty, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is what lived here, is from here.
Yeah, 5'11", 175. I don't know if that jogs a bell, but...
Yeah, that sounds right.
Does sound right.
So
Samuel Onofrio Haggerty.
Scored on a... didn't score, but reached base on a drop third strike
mm-hmm.
last night. So anyway, that ended the perfect game for John Means. He gets a no-hitter. They blank Seattle 6-0, and it's the third no-hitter of the season of Major League Baseball.
Third official, because you got Mad Bum.
Well, yeah.
Come on, MLB, come on.
I know. Should be four.
They're saying that there could be a lot this year. I mean, there's 3.5, essentially, through a month and a week. We could get 10 this year at this pace.
And it's not, you know, it's, with the exception of Bumgarner, it's not, you know, the Scherzers.
Mm-mm.
It's, you know, it's not the Garrett Coles. It's not the, you know, your big frontline guys.
Right.
Trevor Bauer.
Musgrove.
Yeah.
Had one. Carlos Rodon.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the Means kid.
Guys are, you know, good pitchers, but they're not guys you normally think of having no-hit stuff. Mm. Well, we have our third official no-hitter of the season last night with what John Means did. Nikola Jokic started fast in the Nuggets 113-97 win over the red-hot New York Knicks Wednesday night at Ball Arena. The MVP frontrunner scored 24 of his 32 points in the first quarter to help Denver win their 10th game out of their last 12. Jokic got help with the 17 points from Michael Porter Jr., 16 from Facu Campazzo. The win moves the Nuggets back into a tie for third in the Western Conference with the LA Clippers. Avalanche top pick Alex Newhook made his NHL debut Wednesday, but was not in a win as Colorado lost at San Jose 3-2. The Sharks' Tomas Hertl helped lead the San Jose comeback with a two-goal night. Newhook was the 16th player select in the 2019 draft and was a center on the Avs' second line. Colorado got goals from Andre Burakovsky and Tyson Jost as the Avs sit 4 points back of the West Division leading Vegas Golden Knights. Colorado Mesa baseball team has won their last 18 straight. They haven't lost a game since March 21st. They're the number one team in D2 baseball. You're going to take on CSU Pueblo at Rawlings Field in a four-game set that starts tomorrow. The Thunderbolts are 13-18. They took just one of their three games against Colorado Christian. Mavs head coach Chris Eng says you can't look past a team like CSU Pueblo. They've got some pitchers that could really pose a threat to the Mavericks offense.
I'll tell you, they have three arms that are dangerous, that are good arms. We are familiar with them. They have the ability to hold you down if they're on. With the rivalry over the years involved, we expect the battle, and we're going to have to assume that they're going to play their very best.
Mavs and Thunderbolts play a four-game set in Pueblo, doubleheader on Friday, games on Saturday and Sunday. For the fifth straight time, the CMU softball team is the RMAC regular season champions. Thanks to their 34-2 record, the Mavericks took home the crown. They'll host next week's RMAC tournament. That will follow the regular season finale in Durango against Fort Lewis this week. Mavs interim head coach Mercedes Boti says while they are happy to be regular season champions again, they know their work is not finished.
They're just like, okay, we get rings. We get conference rings. They're excited about that. And then it was like, okay, next thing. We got games next weekend. You know, when are we practicing? RMAC tournament's coming up. We're at home. We officially got that out of the way.
Mavs wrap up the regular season at Fort Lewis against the Skyhawks this weekend. And that's a quick look at
what's happening.
All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Coming up a little bit, Steve Ryer, the coach of the Delta Panthers baseball team. They open up the season against Durango on Tuesday. We'll talk with him coming up in just a little bit. Text or call the show today, 970-242-1340.
Yeah, I think they're like the best on the radio.
At least at the pro level, the best of the best.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 726. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Avalanche lose to San Jose last night, 3-2. The Avs have struggled in the third period recently. As we're getting close to the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs, how concerned are you about the Avs and how they're finishing games? Also, you had the comments from Mike Garofalo from the NFL Network that Aaron Rodgers last season was telling free agents to be like David Bakhtiari, Aaron Jones, some of his own teammates. Hey, if you re-sign, if you already decide to come here, if it's a free agent that was coming in or considering Green Bay, you won't be playing with me because I'm probably not going to be here. What's your take on that? If you're a Packers fan, how do you feel about that? I know we got a few Packers fans sprinkled across the Western Slope. How do you feel about that? If Rodgers is telling teammates, hey, look, man, if you're thinking about hanging around here, getting back to the NFC Championship game with me, well, you better hope that Jordan Love guy's really good.
Right.
Because you won't be doing it with me. So text or call us 970-242-1340. And like we were saying earlier, I think just kind of reset here a little bit, it doesn't change my opinion about him coming to Denver if that does happen. Because this is just who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's a spiteful kind of guy. That's just how he's wired.
At that point, he's now also a mercenary, too. So you kind of have to let all that other stuff go. You know, if he's coming to your team or my team, it's one of those, he's a spiteful mercenary now. I got to let all this other stuff go.
This is just who the guy is.
Right. And if it bothers you, then he's not really the guy to lead your team because he may do it to you as well.
It's a possibility, sure. If things don't go well out of the gate,
mm-hmm.
could he be that kind of guy that, starts saying things and doing things that obviously are, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're just supposed to come here and win football games for us. You're not supposed to act like you were acting in Green Bay.
Well, you're supposed to entice free agents to come here, not go somewhere else. Well, I did this in Green Bay. What did you expect from me?
This is who he is.
Right. It's like getting mad when the scorpion stings you, right? Or whatever the old
adage is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just once again reminds us this is who Aaron Rodgers is.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the guy that he is.
And if you're going to embrace one aspect, you got to be ready for all of it. If you're going to embrace the, discount double check touchdown celebration and the ability to get guys to jump off sides and have free plays and the Hail Marys, you also have to be prepared for the fact that he can be a spiteful jerk, and he's going to maybe possibly want to wiggle his way out of your town as well.
Just keep that in mind.
Right.
All right, 729, text or call us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. All right, start things out with the Rockies beating the Giants yesterday.
Yeah.
John Gray, as mentioned, 4-0 this season at Coors Field. Another really strong performance by the Gray Wolf yesterday. John going out and giving the Rockies 6 innings of work yesterday. 6 innings on the day, along with giving up just 2 runs, 4 hits. He struck out 8. He also had an RBI single yesterday.
Yeah, he had a good day.
A lot of good things for John Gray yesterday. Then the Rockies turned it over to the bullpen. And that's
did not
where,
have a good day.
And that's where things started to get very, very squirrely for the Rockies yesterday. Daniel Bard had another, adventure.
Yeah.
Shall we say, yesterday for the Rockies?
Couple walks, gave up a run. Tyler Kinley didn't have a great inning himself.
2 hits, 2 runs.
Mm-hmm. Robert Louis Stevenson had a decent,
was good.
He's gotten better.
Yeah. But Daniel Bard struggled once again. With the 2 walks you referenced, he did get a couple of strikeouts, but was able to, get out of it, and the Rockies were able to hold on for the 6-5 win yesterday. But yeah, the Daniel Bard's problems are still an issue for this team.
Right. And the thing with Daniel Bard is, and it's not just inning to inning, it's at bat to at bat. Sometimes his stuff plays still. And it's like, man, if he could just throw that pitch again, throw it all inning, like the slider or whatever. And then sometimes that thing just comes up there like a frisbee. And he's either nowhere near the zone or right down Broadway. And then another guy comes up and he makes him look foolish. He's so out of whack from hitter to hitter sometimes, it's hard to get a feel on really what's wrong. Like Bud Black was saying that his stuff is good. It's just the command. And sometimes it's not that the fact that it's all over the place. It's he's not getting stuff to look like it's in the zone and break out. Sometimes that slider, I think he's maybe throwing it at a new angle here the last couple weeks.
And I read a piece on Purple Row about that, about how that the slider, there's been a change in it, and it's not been a good change.
It doesn't bite. It just kind of floats. He had one yesterday that just, it was a cement mixer. It just spun, but it didn't go anywhere. And it, at 87, 88 miles an hour, if it's not going to move, guys in the big leagues are going to whack that all over the yard.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an issue right now, because Bard got off to such a great start. ERA has, you know, ballooned over 9 lately, and so it's an issue for the Rockies. All right, we'll talk more about the Nuggets in just a moment. And the Avalanche, who do we have in the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line?
This is George.
Okay. George, good morning. How are you?
Doing good, guys. How are you?
Doing fine. What's on your mind, George?
Oh, I was just going to say, if any team should be upset about what Aaron Rodgers said, what team would it be?
I would assume it would be the Packers.
Yeah.
And I mean,
do the Packers care?
You know, probably on a small level. But it's probably something that fans are probably more upset about, George, than Goon Coons or anybody there. I mean, they know how Aaron Rodgers is. It's not like this is behavior that is something out of left field and foreign to them. They know the kind of guy he is, the way he's wired.
Well, they got those two guys to resign anyway.
And they you know, Jones and Bakhtiari came back to the team anyway, so it wasn't like they went someplace else. They still made the decision whether he's going to be there or not to stay in Green Bay. So it's probably more Packer fans that are the ones that are livid about this than anybody else, particularly those that own stock in the team, and they don't like him telling guys to, you know, go, I'm not going to be here, so maybe you should think about going someplace else. I mean, by saying I'm not going to be here, that does lead them to go, well, I mean, part of the reason I want to be here is because you're going to help us get to the NFC Championship game again. If you're not here, I'm not sure that's going to happen. Apparently, those two guys, they're going to be good with him being there or not, whatever that might
be. Yeah, they also got huge contracts, which helps. But
exactly.
You know,
money sues other a lot of things.
But I would have. That's my whole point, is that, look, the Packers players, coaches, and even their general manager doesn't care. They're doing everything they can do to try and salvage this relationship, because at the end of the day, they want to win football games.
Right.
Who gives you the best chance to do that?
Absolutely. But can this relationship be salvaged, though? That's the thing.
I don't think anyone but Aaron Rodgers really knows that at this point, and I'm going to say probably not, but to what extent are they both willing to sacrifice financially and business-wise to make it work? That one we don't know. I mean, is Aaron really going to retire if push comes to shove and then walk away for a year to come back and play somewhere else?
Which would be like a Carson Palmer. Carson, you know, was gone for a little bit. He retired, but then forced the issue for the Bengals to trade him to the Raiders. I mean, he could do that, you know, ultimately force their hand by just saying, I'm going to retire, and you're not going to get anything out of me. So
yeah, Gronkowski did it. I mean, you know, so
yeah,
it's been done. Brett Favre did it.
Yeah, yes, he did.
It's been done before. It's just you don't know the level of animosity, and you have people posturing, trying to create issues, and it is what it is. But I don't know. I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, these guys spend more time with their teammates than they do their own family in a lot of the situations. So they're going to talk to their family members, meaning their teammates, and tell them what's going on. I mean, it's real life. I mean, just because they're a pro athlete doesn't mean that they don't have good friends and people they
can
relate to.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they have guys they have relationships with, guys that are, you know, like any workplace. There are people that you're closer with than other people, and look, those are, if you told Bakhtiari and Jones that, those are two guys that he obviously is around. Teammates on the offensive side of the football. There's, as you know, there's that, you know, those guys in your unit, that particular group that you're more close to than maybe other people on the football team. Was he doing them a service as a teammate to say, hey, look, guys, love playing with you, but I'm probably not going to be here in 2021. So use that information however you want to. If you like playing with me, I'm probably going to be someplace else. And
those guys could have said in their negotiations, look, and been more firm, because they're like, Aaron may not come back anyway, so I'll go back to the Packers if they show me the money. If they don't, then I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
we don't know how they use that in their negotiations.
It's sure.
That's my only point is I don't know. Like, if it doesn't offend the Packers, I mean, I think that everyone else should be like, well, I get it. Like, it's about winning football games, and you're getting a top three quarterback in the NFL, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the tampering thing, you know, that's a different story if the Broncos did tamper, but that's so tough to prove, and it hasn't, you know, outside of the Jeremy Maclin thing with the Chiefs, you know, when they got dinged for tampering and had to give up, what, like a third-round pick. And, you know, I mean, it's hard to prove. That would be the bigger story kind of angle on this is, did the Broncos, did the Niners tamper with Aaron Rodgers? And like I said, I don't think anything's going to come out of that either. I think this is just nothing. Aaron Rodgers is who Aaron Rodgers is. And you can either view this as him being a good teammate and good, you know, have a good relationship with those guys and by being honest with them. Or if you're a Packers fan, you're mad, what are you doing telling guys to leave the football team by you saying, I'm not going to be there anymore. So I'm with you. George, it doesn't change how I feel about Aaron Rodgers. I still want him in Denver. I still hope it happens. We'll see where this all goes. Hey, George, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the phone call.
Later, guys.
All right, take care. All right, George.
Yeah, if you blindly love Aaron Rodgers, it may be one of those, I can't believe he would do this to my team. But if you're kind of aware that he's a petty, spiteful jerk face.
He's a petty guy. It's just how he is. Okay,
yeah, this is him, but whatever. You know.
Yeah, so you take it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's okay. At a certain level, he's showing respect to his teammates, his colleagues.
Right.
I'm not going to be here. I just want to let you know that. So, also had the Nuggets last night. Nuggets with an impressive win over the Knicks last night. Nikola Jokic, huge
dunked,
game.
Like, yes. A lot. He's not a Skywalker guy.
No.
He went for the slam-a-lama
times. Yeah. He went airborne a couple times last night. Jokic with a 24 points in the first quarter. He had 32 in the game last night. Denver's now won 10 out of their last 12. And Nikola Jokic, 17 points for Michael Porter Jr. Facu Campazzo had 16.
He had a good game.
Yeah, he did. And after the game last night, though, this is a cool thing. They had a Spanish reporter on the Zoom call.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Facu from, you know, playing the Spanish league.
Yep. Argentina.
And so there was a, you know, Latin reporter who wanted to ask a question. And Michael Malone said, hey, we're going to go to this guy first. There's a question about Facu last mm-hmm. night.
Thank you, coach. Hi, and congrats for the big win of tonight. Well, what can you tell me about the job from Facu on the glass tonight?
That's why I went to you first, Esteban. yeah, Facu was amazing. You know, one of the smallest players on the court, 16 points, 9 rebounds, all right? 4 assists, 5 steals. And correct me if I'm wrong, Esteban, but 2 tapones, right? Block shots, which is incredible. So Facu filled up the stat sheet tonight. He was phenomenal. I thought our first quarter was great, built a big lead. Our starters came out with the right mindset against a team that's been playing the best basketball in the NBA as of late. So this was one of our more impressive wins of the year when you consider who we have available and the quality of opponent. And Facu was tremendous in every facet of the game tonight.
All right, there's Michael Malone speaking a little Spanish.
Yes.
On Cinco de Mayo, by
Miguel
the way.
Miguel Malone on Cinco de Mayo.
Little post Malone, I don't know.
Nope.
I'm not, that's...
That's all I got.
Beyond my Spanish-speaking abilities.
I can order a little food, but that's about it. Because that's my main concern if I ever get stranded in a Spanish-speaking country, is how to feed myself.
I just say, McDonald's? Anything? Fast food?
I have the local cuisine. You know, you might be there for a while.
That's true.
You only have so much McDonald's.
That's true. Or whatever your favorite burger joint might be.
The King, Carl's Jr.
Exactly. Oh yeah.
I'm a fan of all.
I am as well. But also last night for the Nuggets, Austin Rivers, 25 points last night.
and some salt too towards the Knicks. Ooh, brother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're going to start something, and maybe some of these bigger guys have to finish. So then, calm down, Austin.
Come on, Austin. Michael Porter Jr. and Joker's like, no, right. Come on, man. No, let's. You want to go do that? You go.
There was already some scrapping in the Garden. I don't need the Nuggets to be a part. Did you see that last night?
Oh, yeah.
Between the Caps and the Rangers?
Ooh.
I almost got some penalty minutes from the Caps.
He got ugly.
They needed a table and some coffee. A conference room was set up at the penalty box. That's six guys in there at one point.
They're ordering out from the box. Yeah.
They had to sit on laps. There was not enough chairs. It's like piling all your high school friends in the back seat of the car.
Yeah, or like the old stud of stuffing. How many people could stuff in a Volkswagen, things like that. All right, so Nuggets get the win last night very quickly on the Avalanche. Falling last night to San Jose. Alex Newhook made his NHL debut last night. Enjoyed talking with Connor McGahee yesterday about that. But the Avs fall 3-2 to San Jose last night. All right. Oh, by the way, Sam Haggerty.
Mm-hmm.
His dad, I was brain locking on Kevin Haggerty.
Oh, okay.
Kevin played quarterback at Grand Junction when I played at Fruita. And so Kevin and Lisa, the son, the parents of Sam Haggerty, their
son. There you
go. And Sam went to Mullen, by the way. He lived here. And then Haggerty's moved to the Front Range. And I believe Kevin still works for Mesa Systems. So that was the deal. But yes, ties to the Grand Valley. And Sam Haggerty was the guy who was able to prevent the perfect game last night for John Means of Baltimore. All right. Got Steve Ryer of the Delta Panthers coming up in just a moment. Talk a little Panther baseball. It's time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have?
Well, it was a week ago today that the news was leaked that Aaron Rodgers wanted out of Green Bay, starting this whole kerfluffle. And it was leaked to Adam Schefter. And Schefter has 11 billion channels on ESPN that he could go on and say who leaked this to him. He has his own podcast as well. And he's not helping anybody out because he's not really being clear which side leaked this.
Clearly, this is an issue that's gone on for weeks. To me, frankly, it's amazing that it's gone on as long as it has. And there are people who said, oh, Aaron Rodgers wanted this story out the Thursday before the draft. Let me tell you something. Aaron Rodgers had nothing to do with this story coming out the Thursday before the draft. Not only did he have nothing to do with this story coming out the Thursday before the draft, but my understanding is he was none too pleased about the story coming out because all it did was shine a light on the relationship between the two sides, which is at best strained right now. But Aaron Rodgers didn't want this coming out. And guess what? The Green Bay Packers didn't want it coming out. There are people who think the Packers planted it. Baloney.
So was it Rodgers? Wasn't the Packers? Who else knows?
Then who was it that brought this up?
It was the one-armed man on the grassy knoll.
Apparently so.
Apparently.
All right, 7:45. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Steve Ryer, head coach of the Delta Panthers baseball team, joins us next.
That's just crap today.
The team presents The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles, joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. He's the head coach of the Delta Panthers baseball team, Steve Ryer. Steve, I appreciate the time. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Jim?
Good to catch up once again. And I mean, your ball club starts the season Tuesday when you take on Durango, but well, it's been tough. Last year, you guys didn't even get a chance to play a single game. Some of the teams here in the Valley, they got a couple of games in at the Bill Fanning Classic, but last year the Panthers didn't even have a chance to step on the field before everything got shut down.
Yeah, it was crazy. We were literally about 4 hours from playing our first game last year when they decided to shut things down. So that was a tough spring for sure.
So how did you approach things with your ball club going through last year, going through an off season and trying to fashion together some sense of a summer schedule for your baseball players? How did you approach that trying to get through last year without a normal baseball season for your squad?
Yeah, it was definitely a challenge. You know, we really couldn't do anything with them until June 1st is when we kind of got the go-ahead to start working with kids and so forth. And And it was a lot of, because we had a really solid freshman class coming in number wise. So, we had a lot of kids, and the crazy part about it with our sophomores, they didn't get a season, obviously. So essentially we were trying to teach, everything we do to essentially two freshman classes, So it was a challenge, and then, with not a lot of teams that were able to play during the summer, we had to get creative with some of the things we did as far as scrimmages go with, a couple with Gunnison, a couple with Cedar Edge, and a couple with Hotchkiss. So, yeah, it was definitely a challenge.
Delta Panthers baseball coach Steve Ryer joining us today. Chasen now has the preseason baseball rankings out. Eaton's the top team in 3A, but you look there in the top 10, and no big surprise, you guys are used to being a top 10 ranked team. Your Panthers at number 5, and so obviously with no 2020, I mean, even with that factor, they know the quality of your baseball program, Steve, and so certainly everybody across state, coaches across the state know that even with a young squad, your team is going to be one of the better teams in 3A baseball again in 2021.
Yeah, we hope so. We talked about that the other day. We told the kids that, it's something to live up to. It's, that number 5 ranking, like you said, that's definitely, respect for our program, which, we appreciate, and we work hard to get there. And, we know going in that we've got to prove stuff. We haven't done anything to get that 5 ranking this year. And, we got a lot of young kids. We're going to end up, I believe, with 6 freshmen on the varsity level and 3 or 4 sophomores. So, we only have 4 seniors this year, and yeah, not one of our kids has any varsity experience. So it's going to be it's going to be fun watching them grow. I guarantee it's going to be challenging at times, but it's going to be fun watching them grow throughout the year.
Delta Panthers baseball coach Steve Ryer with us today on the Team Sports Network, and one of those freshmen has a last name that if you've followed Delta Panthers football, it's familiar. Ryland Bynum. Assuming the brother of Nolan Bynum, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, so it's a pretty good athletic bloodlines in the Bynum family. And so, Ryland, one of those young guys that you mentioned, Steve, you'll have on your varsity roster.
Yes, and it's one of those deals, with Nolan going down in football with a knee injury, we don't have him. And he would have been our only returning individual with any varsity experience, but some of those young kids, they've played a lot of competitive ball, and I think that's one of those situations where most years I'd be really concerned about having to play a handful of freshmen, but these kids have played a lot of competitive ball on travel teams and so forth, so I'm pretty at ease with making those decisions, having young kids stepping into some big spots, and I think they'll succeed at it. So those kids are going to be fun to watch.
Who can we expect to see on the mound for the Panthers this season?
Yeah, it's funny, Jim. We told our kids coming in, you better be able to pitch this year, at the varsity level, because good grief, when we play, 2 doubleheaders in a week and have a game sprinkled in here and there in between, we've got a lot of innings to account for. So. And just about everybody on our roster is a pitcher. But, probably our number one will be Ezra Catherine, who's a senior, left-handed senior. And, for the first time in my career, we've got more than one left-hander on the mound. We've got 4 individuals that are left-handed pitchers, and they're actually pitchers. They're not just, left-handed throwers. So it's going to be kind of fun watching those guys work. And in our league, I don't know what it is. Our league struggles hitting left-handed pitching, so we're hoping that's going to continue a little bit, for our sake. And I think seeing our own left-handers in scrimmages and so forth is going to be an advantage for us. So definitely something we haven't had the luxury of having over the past few years.
Johnny Holstaff, literally. Everybody on your roster could be on the bump at some point or another. Steve Ryer, coach of the Delta Panthers baseball team, with us. And when you look at the 3A Western Slope League, Steve, always a very competitive league. And you mentioned that you're the number 5 team in 3A baseball, but Moffitt County in your league also getting a vote as well of course, outside the top 10, but getting a vote. So Moffitt County certainly be one of those programs in your league that'll provide some really good competition.
Oh, without a doubt. They, you know, they have, you know, three seniors off the top of my head that are pretty solid individuals, and they were solid as sophomores. We saw them 2 years ago. And if it wasn't for a late inning home run by Eli Farmer 2 years ago, that, you know, we could have ended up on the wrong side of that one. You know, they have some good athletes up there, so we know they're definitely going to be a challenge.
Steve, I appreciate the time. Panthers open the season Tuesday at Durango. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Take care.
You too. Steve Ryer, coach of the Delta Panthers baseball team. All right, 7:56. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy. By the way, if you want to catch that interview, if you'd only got part of it, we'll have it up on our Twitter feed, Facebook, and our website right around 10:30 this morning. We'll post it then. All right, text or call the show, 970-242-1340. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Aaron Rodgers reportedly telling teammates are going to be free agents, guys like David Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones. Hey, you can do what you want to do, stay, whatever, but I'm not going to be here in 2021. What's your take on that? Is that being fair to his teammates? Not fair to the Packers? I think if you're a Broncos fan or a Browns fan or any of the teams that might possibly be courting an Aaron Rodgers trade, I don't think it matters to you. It doesn't really matter to me that much. It doesn't speak to me that, you know, something that I'm concerned about with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
He is who he is. Simple as that. Got some thoughts on that. Also, the Avalanche. How concerned are you about the poor play in the third period? Last couple of weeks, it's not been good.
Yeah, it's getting more concerning here mid-April on. Since really the COVID pause.
We got about a handful of games left in the regular season. You know, getting close to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and not a good trend to carry into the postseason if you're the Avalanche, one of the favorites in the NHL. We'll take a break. We'll come back with hour two.